Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, KEYS. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.
There were moments in that relationship where we had, you know, some of the definitions of what success would be. We had that. And I stood and I thought, what's this all about? Because that's not what's bringing me happiness. And so I decided that I was going to be on the hot pursuit of what happiness was, what life was all about. Again, right? Another defining moment for me. And to deny that calling, to deny that strong desire to go discover that, did mean for me to leave that relationship. And I didn't do it for a really long time. So I waited and waited and waited. And then I had an experience where, I guess we could call it a near-death experience. When I came back from that experience, I thought, this is it. This is the beginning of the end. I'm going for that, whatever's calling me, and I don't know what that is. And off I went.
I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com.
Doing creative work can be kind of lonely, and that's why we built the Unmistakable Listener Tribe. The Tribe is a community for professionals to connect and support each other. Everything is designed to help you grow your business and share what's working and what isn't. And that's true whether you're a business owner or an artist. You'll get access to feedback, live conversations with guests, and so much more. By joining the Tribe, you become part of a community of creators who all support each other, and it's completely free. Hopefully I'll see you there. Visit unmistakablecreative.com/tribe to join. Again, that's unmistakablecreative.com/tribe. Christine, welcome to the Unmistakable Creative. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it is my pleasure to have you here. So I was introduced to you by way of our mutual friend, Hillary Weiss. And anytime another guest refers somebody, it's almost always an instant yes. So it was kind of a no-brainer to have you here. You have a book out called Keep It Simple, Smarty Pants, all of which we will get into. But before we do that, just based on and having what I've read in the book, I want to start by asking you, what religious or spiritual beliefs were you raised with and how did those end up impacting your life?
Well, I wasn't really raised with much of a religious voice. We were Catholic, certainly, but I can't say that that influenced me all that much overall. Mm-hmm. And I came more into spirituality, the idea of spirituality, more in my late teens, I suppose, the idea, the concept of that. And I integrated that perspective in amongst many other beliefs that really felt aligned and what resonated for me. I never really resonated with the idea that I was here to redeem myself or to prove my worthiness. And so I explored Buddhism and explored other avenues and read about other religions. And truly that the one that I live by more now is that we are all God, for lack of a better word, and that's not meant to be disrespectful of that word either, but we are all spirit, really, and that we are all born worthy and good and empowered or powerful. And I really like that perspective, that we don't have to put ourselves in any kind of corner of this is the better or the worse religion or the right or the wrong religion. It's just simply, if we all come from that basis, and I think that all religions do have at the core of them, if we're not messing them up, at the core of them, their first intentionality was, and maybe has not remained so, but that we are spirit and we are good.
What prompted your exploration of spirituality? Because 13 seems like a really early age to start thinking about things like this. I think if you'd asked me when I was 13, I was probably busy playing video games and wondering why girls weren't interested in me.
I think that I was questioning stuff when I was 3, and I would not have labeled it as exploring my spirituality, certainly, but I was very aware of, and again, I don't think I would have said it this way then, but I was aware of these feelings, these distinctions, these gaps between what I was observing in the world and what I was feeling or what I was hearing people say and what was happening. And so I think I was perhaps born with a very strong intention to explore that and to know who I really am versus some diminished version of me as just a human being. That subject lights me up. I could go on and on. We could be talking for 4 hours about that subject alone of who we really are. And it's not just human.
Yeah. You mentioned that you started questioning things. And what I wonder is why more people don't, because whether it's religion or whether it's self-help as religion, a lot of people take other people's advice as gospel rather than guidance. Mm-hmm. They don't question it in the context of their life. You and I were talking about this, I think, when we were supposed to have this conversation on Monday. And I said, I feel like context is so overlooked. But why is it that most people don't question what's happening in their life or in the world around them?
I don't have the answer to that, certainly.
I don't expect you to.
Right. My perspective, my take on that is there are probably a lot of reasons, but I think that we grow up in environments where the people around us believe what they believe. And so often we just don't question it. We just adopt it and adapt to it. And that's not really answering your questions. Why don't people question? I don't know. And I think that it's, again, there are realities that we live, and then they're affirmed by our beliefs. And so why would you question some things?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you? I just have a very deep desire, strong desire, that calls me to question, not in a, not in a way to be criticizing or demeaning anyone else in their perspective. It's more about, well, what do I believe? What do I really believe? What do I think about that? Is that true for me? Does that resonate for me? Is there another way? Is there another thought? Is there another perspective? And so, I don't know. Some people question more and others just accept what is what is. That's all.
Yeah. No, I appreciate this whole idea of whether something is right for you. I think that, as I told you, that was what really, prompted me to want to talk to you, was to kind of make this distinction. But before we get into that, what did your parents teach you about making your way in the world?
I'm sure I know for sure they taught me a lot. Can you ask a more specific question? Because that,
yeah, I mean, what type of advice did they give you about careers, and making sure that, your adult life was, how you wanted it to be? Did they encourage any particular career paths?
No. And frankly, I don't remember very much. I know that my father was a great influence in terms of, I saw him work hard, and he bought a business and moved us from one area in Canada to another area and sort of pick everything up and go to a different place. And he started anew there. And while he was working for Quebec Hydro, he always had jobs on the side and would do other things. And when we moved to Ontario, he bought a business with his brother. So I think I learned from him. What I remember about him was he was out selling milking parlor equipment, and he was always looking for opportunities. He was in the farmer's barn, and he was looking around to see if he had anything to sell to him, to my father, to him, or if there were opportunities for my dad to be making some kind of a deal. So I learned opportunity is everywhere. I learned, certainly, I have the entrepreneurial spirit because I've always just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I remember my father saying about me that I was always determined. Now, I don't remember myself to be that way, really, necessarily, as a young child. But I guess having heard that, I think, yeah, probably. I don't recall that they were saying to me, you can be anything that you want to be, or any of that kind of thing. I don't know what their perspective was on that sort of thing. And my, you know, when you're in your childhood, you can think this sucks. And at about 17, I really started examining that. And whatever perspective I had come to by that time, I worked through, and I think I had a phenomenal childhood and experience and learning opportunities and beautiful platform to bounce off of. And truly, my parents were nothing but supportive in the ways that they were. Everything really contributed to who I've become. So as far as specifics, I don't have them otherwise.
I appreciate the fact that you alluded to the fact that when you look back as a child, or in childhood, you think this sucks, because I had so many of those experiences, particularly being raised by Indian parents. And I realized the things that I thought that sucked about being raised by my parents have been invaluable in adulthood.
Yeah. I mean, I look back and were there things that happened that were out of my control and that I made the mean things, and I interpreted to mean that it was all my fault or it was their fault or whatever it is. That's part of life. That's part of your own self-discovery. That's all part of your being able to make your own choices from where you stand. And I think from where I've been for a long time is I love the people who raised me for being the people that they are and were. Because truly, I believe everyone is always doing the best that they can from where they are. And that's not at all implying that they didn't do well, that they did great. They did great.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this. You're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember, folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
Yeah. So what has been the trajectory that has led you to doing this work? Because I know you're a coach, but you're also somebody who's coached people for a very long time, which is one of the reasons I thought it would make sense to talk to you, because I feel like one of the, you know, you and I are talking about my skepticism about coaches. And I think my big sort of aversion to it is often it's either people with lack of experience because the barrier to entry is so low, or, you know, I think that, you know, there's no evidence to validate what some of these people are saying are true, but we'll get to all of that. But what led you to where you're at?
To become a coach?
Yeah. Like, what's been the trajectory of your career that's taken you to where you're at to writing this book?
Well, I think my trajectory, my choices have always been from that desire to know, from that desire to sort of debunk all of the bullshit that we tend to believe that is false, and to live a life from premises that are solid and true for me. Again, I'm not saying they need to be true for everyone else, but to see through the bullshit and to build from those foundations that are empowering versus continue to tell stories and build my life upon a leaning tower. If it's built on a cracking foundation, on a false premise, you can't help but build false. If from a false foundation, you can't help but build a false, not very sturdy building. And so that's a strong desire of mine. And in fact, this morning I was thinking about some things that are happening in my daughter's life right now. And I thought, really, perhaps at the core of what I do is, can I swear on this show?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's be unfuckwithable, right? It really is about self-empowerment so that you become unfuckwithable. And really know who you are. And because you can get jerked around, you can get jerked around from those false premises and believe things that are untrue about you because other people think them or because you've been told by society or whatever it is. And so I think it is really that piece of empowerment to really stand and be who you are no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, like we get conditioned, I feel like, with social programming from the world around us, from parents, peers, media, society, all of with the, you know, what you refer to as false premises. How do you begin to unwind that? Because I have found, at least in my experience, that when I talk to people, particularly guests on the show, there's always some sort of a catalyst, some sort of a crisis or inciting incident. It's never everything is perfect and now I'm going to go make it even better.
No. I mean, I had that started a long time ago when probably, I mean, if you look back through the events of your life and you see that was a catalyst. Certainly my mom left our family when I was 3. And I'm not saying that to say poor me. It was an event that affected me and one that I am thankful for, frankly, because it helped me find my own guidance. It just did. And I think it only benefited me. Did I see it that way then? No. But that contributed to my desire to find my guidance, my guiding light. And there was a moment also, I was married before the marriage that I'm in now. And the person I was married to was amazing. Looking in, it was a fabulous relationship, and I will stand by that it was. And yet I felt called someplace else. I felt called, and I felt like I needed to go discover more. And there were moments in that relationship where we had, you know, the social, some of the definitions of what success would be. We had that, and I stood and I thought, what's this all about? Because that's not what's bringing me happiness. And so I decided that I was going to be on the hot pursuit of what happiness was, what life was all about again, right? And another defining moment for me. And to deny that calling, to deny that strong desire to go discover that did mean for me to leave that relationship. And I didn't do it for a really long time because I didn't want to hurt the people around me. So I waited and waited and waited. And then I had an experience where I guess we could call it a near death experience. And I won't go into those details, but when I came back from that experience, I thought, this is it. This is the beginning of the end. I'm going for that, whatever's calling me. And I don't know what that is. And off I went. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And of course it raises more questions, as you probably have gathered by now.
Right.
Your mother leaving, what impact did that have on you, and how has that influenced the way that you have raised your own children?
Well, the impact that it had on me was I blamed myself. I felt very torn. I felt very guilty. I felt very torn. But that's not the impact that it has on me now. I worked through that and got to see the perfection, the beauty, the awesomeness of the courage that she had to do the thing that she needed to do, regardless. And certainly she did enough suffering on her own, you know, that was not needed, but she did. The way that I parent now truly is with guidance, but as much as possible, I want my child to discover what is right for her and what is not so right for her, and to believe in herself, to feel confident, to know that she has wisdom within herself, and to let her make her mistakes, let her discover what she decides to do with the life that she's creating and the results that she's getting. So I encourage, I guide, certainly from the sidelines, but I do my best not to sway her one way or the other. And I do see parenting as a lifelong experiment. I mean, you could do all of the... you could do all of the perfect, you know, perfect air quotes here, perfect things. And the primary premise, right? The primary foundation I hold is that she too is the creator of her own reality. And she will create contrast. She will create events and people, attract people in her life for her own expansion. And that is none of my business. That is none of my business.
Well, I think that actually makes a perfect segue into getting into the book. And you open the book by saying, there isn't a wrong or right way to approach your life, but there are principles that you can integrate that will assist you in living and loving your right life, which I absolutely loved that, because I think the idea that you talk about it from the lens of principles and looking at it through the lens of your right life was what really kind of made me want to talk to you, because I feel like people listen to people like my guests all day long. They read books by, you know, people who have also been guests here, maybe not. And often it's other people's maps that are sort of the GPS system for their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I was just writing about this morning, and potentially, you know, your book prompted me to write about it, is the idea of, you know, in school you have right answers, right? And you get rewarded for right answers with good grades. And, you know, you go into life thinking there are right answers. So you have this sort of false belief, or, you know, like we talked about, that you'll get rewarded with, you know, Ferrari's fuck you money and promotions. and yet, I think that when we finally start to sort of wake up from that idea, we realize there are no right answers, just ones that are right for you. And yet people, I think, become overly dependent on experts, coaches, authorities, gurus to tell them what the right way is.
I agree. I'm a coach, and I never want to tell anyone what their right answer is. I will guide them, right? I will hear them. I will listen. I will give them some foundations from, and I'm clear with about those foundations. Here's how I view the world. And if you're on board with understanding and wanting to know that you're the creator of your reality, then let's play together. If not, I'm not your coach. So I don't believe that there is one right way or one wrong way. And I think a lot of arguments start, think about the relationships that people have. Relationships, I mean, any kind of relationship, and how much people just need to be or want to be right. And they'll argue for that limitation. To me, needing to be right is a limitation. It's just a limitation that it doesn't need to be there. And so do you have your perspectives? Yeah. Do you have your opinions? Yes. Do you have your own life experience to inform you? Yes. Are your beliefs always being affirmed by the life that you're living? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the life you're living, or your approach to life, or your understanding wherever you are, is wrong? No. Is it working for you? Great. If it's not, then change something. Mm-hmm. and figure it out. And the way, for me, the way that I encourage my clients to follow their path, right, find their right answer, is really by how it feels to them. By how it feels to them, and whether there's split energy along the way. And then that's how you start to reveal some of the foundations or the premises that they've been living their lives on. For instance, let's say somebody thinks that they're unworthy. I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. And you would maybe be surprised at how many people think that who are successful.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that they've come to that conclusion. Either somebody sent it to them, or because they've been able to create something, they've been able to experience great wealth, but shitty relationships. And so I'm unworthy is it often a conclusion. And so if we keep building a life based on that false premise, that's a false premise, then it's going to keep playing out in your life. And that's not true. It's not true. And it's not helpful. It's going to get you more of what you want, or it's going to have you rendezvous with a relationship that is really not a match to who you really are, who is worthy, and how you carry yourself, how you speak about yourself, how you offer your opinions, how all of that stuff. So there is no guru, in my opinion, there's no right way to eat. There's no right way to sleep. There's no right way to meditate. There's no right way to make dinner. There's no right way to run your business. There's no right way to get investors for your business. There's no right way. There might be some ways that have worked for others, but remember that whenever you're looking from the outside at someone else's manifestations, it's the manifestations you're looking at, and perhaps through the lens of right or wrong or failure or success, and that is a limited perspective of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So to replicate steps that have worked for people, if that helps you believe you can do it, then go for it.
So I love this idea of creating your own reality. Yeah, definitely. It makes sense. So you talk about this idea of creating your own reality, which I think that, you know, anybody who listens to this show is probably familiar with that conceptually. But I think there's this sort of misconception that, you know, you having the power to create your own reality means that you're also immune to life's inevitable obstacles and challenges, which I don't think is true.
I love that you brought that up. I love that you brought that up because that is a false premise. You're here to live your life and decide and choose and prefer, right? And yes, what you focus on, right? What you think about, what you believe, what you expect. And here's a distinction I make often with clients is what you believe and what you want and what you expect can be different. And so creating your reality doesn't mean you live this perfect little rainbows and bunnies life that there's no contrast, there's no variety. It's like it would be like going to a restaurant and having only pizza. We only serve one kind of pizza. That's all you get here. That wouldn't be very fun for very long. And so life is that. Life is variety. Life is like going to a restaurant and having all kinds of choices and you get to choose. And that does not mean that you are wrong or a bad creator or unworthy or undeserving or any of those. We could go on again here about having a life that is not complete, air quotes here, or perfect, because you are ever evolving and you are ever asking. You will never stop asking. And everyone that you know, I will guarantee it, stands in a place of being in a place wherever they are with whatever they want, they have, and whoever they're with, or whatever, in a manifested place, right? Wanting something more or wanting something less, but that's a want. Mm-hmm. That's a want. Yeah. And so everyone has desires unfulfilled. So get used to it and embrace that. Be proud of it. Do you have everything you want? Hell no. Hell no. I've got lots on my list of things I want and I'm eager about it, not feeling a failure for it. And that's where I find, again, a lot of people feel like a failure, for lack of a better word here, but they feel like they're a failure if they stand in a place of not having the relationship that they want or not having it at all, or being in a, you know, maybe some place that they're is less desired in the relationship. They think there's a problem, or relative to business or their body or whatever it is that matters to anyone. When they stand in a place that they've decided is not a place that they really want to be, and there's something that they're reaching for that isn't yet, they deem it as failure. And it's just not true. That's just not true. If we could all understand that we're all standing in this place of always wanting more, and why not be thrilled about it? Did you get that job yet? Nope, not yet. Looking forward to it. Did you fix that problem? No big deal. Mm-hmm. And just truly be, just see it for really what it is. It's this discovery. It's this discovery of you. And you get to make of it whatever you want, and you get to stand proudly wherever you are and say, I'm standing on this platform and there's more coming. Yay for me. Yay for me.
Yeah. One of my old mentors used to say that, you know, when you become successful, your problems don't go away. They magnify. When you get what you want, your problems don't go away. And I was writing about this the other day on Facebook, and I said, you really think my parents' lives, you know, became problem-free when they had me? Now they have a son who never remembers to put the cap on the toothpaste, as my mother has told me 1,000 times. And it's kind of interesting that we have this sort of other false premise that when I get this thing that I wanted so badly, whatever it is, the money, the fame, the relationship, that all my problems will be gone. And yet that somehow, over and over, that turns out not to be true.
Yeah, it's the I'll be happy when trap is what I call it. And it's truly, again, contrast, right? Variety, asking for more, asking for improvement. Why is it that we see you, the sun, let's say, as not putting the cap on the toothpaste as a problem? And I'm not saying, right?
Feel free to give my mom a call. I don't think she'll agree with you.
But you see what I'm saying? It's like, why Why are we perceiving these things as problematic, whatever those things are? And I can hear people arguing for that, but it's simply, there's a different perspective. This is life. Embrace it all and see that this moment of when your mom saw that cap off of the toothpaste and it frustrated the hell out of her, she had a desire. A desire was birthed within her. And also that play between you and her, I love relationships for this primary reason, is that there's an opportunity for everyone involved, for the one who's standing in a place of saying, would you please put the damn cap on the toothpaste, to find a different perspective. And there's the opportunity for you to either think that you're bad or wrong or a pain in the ass for not putting that cap on the toothpaste. And there's this beautiful interaction where we can all say, you're welcome. You're welcome. And what I mean by that is, you're welcome. I'm happy to be a catalyst for your expansion. Because if you're holding me to a condition, holding me to a behavior that will make you happy, or a behavior that you think will make you happy, because everything that everybody wants relative to people and their behavior, or relative to I want a new red car, whatever that is because they think they will fill in the blank, the happy when trap. When I have a son, when I have a baby, I'll be happy. I'll be complete. Well, no, that son is going to stir up some dust and ruffle your feathers. Can you enjoy it? Can you embrace it? Can you love it for what it is, for the expansion that it's giving you? And if everyone or more, if people could see it that way, then we'd have a way, 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 way better time than running around on the planet asking everybody to change or couch their words or say it in the exact right way so that you don't hurt each other's feelings. And I'm saying that sort of, you know, your feelings don't get hurt. You choose them to be. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. So in the book, you break this up into two different parts. And in part one, you talk about the three things that we need to know. You say we have a soul, that emotions are incredibly important, and reality doesn't happen to you. Mm-hmm. I think we've kind of sort of, you know, in a roundabout way, talked about soul without intending to. But let's talk about this idea of emotions, because I think that, you know, there are, in my mind, two tendencies when it comes to emotions, at least in my experience. You have a bad emotion, you try to suppress it. You have a good one, you try to, you know, just hang on to it as long as you can. And somehow neither one of those last, even though we think they will.
Right. So what is your question?
Well, I mean, you say we're taught to think that having a bad feeling indicates that something, person, or circumstance is bad and is the cause of you feeling bad, when in fact, it's just dissonance or disconnection with your soul. We're also taught that feeling good means something, person, or circumstance is good, and the cause of you feeling good is when it's just resonance and connection with your soul. And I guess the question for me then is how we prevent ourselves from getting trapped in emotions that don't serve us. But then, you know, on the flip side of that, maybe every emotion has some service to us, you know, even our worst ones, because who would we be without even our most difficult ones?
Like,
if you've seen the movie Inside Out, you're like, okay, who would we be without our sadness?
That's what I'm saying. Emotions are information. And you started the call here and said something about a GPS. It's kind of like a GPS. It's a GPS telling you that you could make a U-turn right now, or is the GPS saying you're on the right track? And again, I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong track. What I'm saying is dissonance with your soul or resonance with your soul. Good feeling emotion is more the frequency of the perspective of your soul. A negative emotion, not meaning bad emotion, but bad feeling, right? Doesn't feel good, is more dissonance, different frequency than your soul. And so it lets you know it's information for you. And it's not ever about denying how you feel. It's about taking that feedback. A lot of people just ignore how they feel. That's not my message. Pay attention to how you feel, but then choose. Choose if you want to keep feeling that way. Understand that you have the power, the ability to change how you feel without needing that condition, without you needing to put the cap on the toothpaste.
Yeah.
Before I feel better, before I don't have to bump into that and be frustrated every time. That doesn't mean I don't speak up and say, hey, would you put the cap on the toothpaste? Again, this can be misinterpreted at times. What I'm saying is you have the ability to feel however you feel, and most people are not taking charge of that. And instead, assigning the blame to the condition, the person, the circumstance, the whatever it is, you're not that powerless.
Let's look at one condition or circumstance in particular, which is grief. And that grief could come from heartbreak. That grief could come from something as tragic as losing a parent. I mean, we can't sugarcoat something like losing a parent and, you know, self-help our way out of that. It's painful. Like, I can't imagine the day that's going to happen to me. Like, I know it will. Like, it's going to happen in my life. And I think that what I wonder is, when we get trapped in an emotion like grief, how do you prevent that from turning into rumination? Because I think that in so many cases in my life, it always has, particularly when it came to relationships.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First is, you know, from your soul perspective, when you think about grief, when you think about losing, from the human perspective, you perceive loss and your soul is not perceiving loss. So number one, that's a perspective that creates dissonance, which then we label as grief. And so I'm not ever saying that, you know, your parent will change shape and form and you should be happy about that, but you could. you know, on the far end of that, you could be. So first, it is a perspective. Second, it is an adjustment as a human being, because we are here having the human experience, and our souls are dancing and playing with us, and we're either blended in that perspective or we're not. And so by using that information that I wrote in the book, certainly about those emotions, like, well, maybe there's a different perspective about that. But so, and that's how you help your grief. You're going to recognize that your parent or your pet or your friend or and so on, but it is the constant reaching for, is there a better feeling? And that does not make me wrong for where I am, but it's more like I'm in it. I'm feeling the loss. Then great. Then feel that loss and know that you can feel better. And for people who are deep down in it like that, that's what I say to them, is like, just know that you can, when they're asking, of course, know that you will and can feel better, because life has demonstrated to us that there's nothing like death to let us know that life goes on. Really. We all know that what we call death is going to happen to each and every one of us. So for me, there's kind of a stigma around that, and we all prepave it. We're all preparing for that, or trying to avoid or prevent that from happening. And it's like, if we would just change the perspective about it, we wouldn't be building it up to be this big, big old thing.
Wow. Well,
and so, that's not to say that that's never to say that you're wrong for feeling sad, because it's just a different understanding, which maybe, just maybe, can help you move through it more easily, yeah. Can help you bounce back sooner. You see?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Right.
So let's talk about this idea of manifesting, because I think that, you know, one of the things that really kind of has stunned me is, I think that when a movie like The Secret comes out, it kind of led a lot of people to sit around making vision boards, sitting on their asses and not doing anything. And I remember John Astroff, who was a guest here on the podcast and even was in the movie The Secret, he said, yeah, there's one really important thing that was left out of that movie, the law of Goya, get off your ass. And, you know, you actually, I really appreciated the way that you explained this. You said, thoughts attract, they do not assert. You don't, for the most part, purposely manifest anything to hurt yourself or purposely attract things you don't want. Mostly that's done through oblivion or misunderstanding. If you've been thinking and feeling and thinking and feeling and thinking and feeling and didn't know that you attract the essence of your thought. And so I think that, you know, there are two ways this goes, because I think people sit around thinking, hey, you know, I'll just think about having $1 million and it'll fall from the sky, which anybody who's actually earned $1 million knows that's not true. So how do we actually use this in a way that's practical as opposed to aspirational and new age bullshit?
Right. So a couple of things I want to address that you didn't say. You know, The Secret was a great introduction, a great platform for people to start understanding that they create their reality, you know, law of attraction and things like that. I think the other missing piece in The Secret was the emotional part, is your emotions are your GPS. Your emotions are the indicator. And that's a big piece in creating your reality and understanding law of attraction, if we're going to talk about that, which a lot of people misunderstand, frankly. And so now for the practical end of it, yeah, okay, all right, I'm just going to sit around on my couch and just hope for $1 million. Well, technically, what you want is probable. Anything that you want, if you can think it, you can have it. But what is also missing in that equation is, what do you believe about that? What do you think about consistently? Where are your thoughts today and this moment and yesterday consistently? What are you practicing, right? What are you practicing along the way? And you say, well, I'm just going to think about $1 million. Okay, well, you're with that attitude, you probably don't believe it, right? And you didn't come to be a creator to sit on the couch. You just didn't, because action is fun. Being involved in the process of the creation is what part of what we are here for. And to think it into being, yes, to feel it into being, yes, but also to take that inspired action. And what a lot of people do is contradict their desire with an opposing thought, contradict their desire with an opposing belief. And so they say, but I'm not, don't want to do anything. And then, well, what are you doing in between What are you doing in those moments in between? So in a practical sense, it is about thinking about what you want. Yeah. But that can go too far also, because what I've found is people misinterpret the idea of think about what you want, think about what you want, think about what you want, think about, make a vision board, write it out, spell it out, tell the universe, announce to the universe what you want. And frankly, that's blah, blah, bullshit. It just is. Make an affirmation about what you want. No, blah, blah, bullshit again, if you don't believe it. You're amplifying where you are, and things that you are attracting then are going to match right where you are. If you are reaching for something that you're not a match to, that you don't believe, that you have contradiction to, what you want isn't going to come. And it's not about the vision board and the affirmations and the goal setting and the all of that stuff. Truly is for you to get up to speed with what you've already told the universe that you want. Because every time you bump into something where you think, whether you know it or not, or whether you speak it out loud or not, you bump into moments throughout your day, every day, where you say, I don't like that so much, I want this. Or you're standing in the sunshine and you're feeling it and you're loving it, and it's like, ah, oh. You are requesting vibrationally frequency, right? And making a billboard announcement always, all the time, many times throughout your day about what you do want. And that's what your soul, that's the frequency that your soul matches, right? And only that frequency. So law of attraction responds to your soul and to you who's saying, oh, but I can't. Oh, look at this shit. This is bothering me. Let me point over there to more of that I don't like or perceive as a problem, and da 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 da. And so here you are, not inspired, and then thinking that you need to speak louder to the universe, or thinking that you better write it down. And so I'm going to try harder, and I'm going to tell the universe again. The universe heard you the first time, dude. Don't have to say it again.
Wow. Well, you know, I think that there's one other thing that really struck me, and this was this idea of a magnificent order in the universe. And you say there's a magnificent order in the way that things play out, because equivalent vibes harmonize with each other always. There are no exceptions to this order. It applies to everyone and to all things. Even the things you see as going wrong are actually in perfect order, because it's not random and it's not out of place. It may not be what you want, but it's inevitably, irrevocably happening in response to your vibrational advertisement. There's always an essence that's a perfect match for that event, circumstance, or feeling. There's only perfect synchronicity with your vibration. And I think the reason
that
apparently you, which is quite well written. The reason that struck me in particular is I come from a culture where people want to force this order. And particularly when it comes to marriage, you know, I know this, and having been on a Netflix dating show for Indian people, I just see this. There's this sort of arbitrary timeline that we place on people, like they have some sort of expiration date. I remember one of my mother's friends calling me, you know, right after this thing came out, trying to introduce me to some girl. And she said, you know, you have to get married on time. And I was like, on time for who? Like, on time is a good metric for your DoorDash order, but probably not for the person you want to marry. I was this close to saying you're going to be dead anyways when this happens, so why do you care if I get married on time? Granted, I didn't say that. That's why I wanted to ask about this,
because the universe doesn't respond to your words; it responds to your vibration.
Yeah, that whole idea of order, right? It's something that I've seen play out in my life in really beautiful ways as well. So, you know, I was probably the latest of all my friends who started blogs in 2009 to get a book deal, but I ended up getting a 2-book deal with Penguin Portfolio, which has every author that I admire. It was like, wow, this is so much better than it would have been if I had gotten this opportunity earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people resist that whole idea because I feel like we're always trying to force this magnificent order.
Most people are trying to force it. Just think about the time consciousness, the time scarcity, the money scarcity, the, you know, I'm 35 or I'm 45 or I'm 20 or I'm whatever. Think about what I need right now. And people for the most part are trying to force things instead of finding that emotional place within them. They're trying to force the conditions to come into place. They're trying to defy the laws of the universe. Listen, dude, you are not the one exception to the universe. You're just not. So everything is going to match your vibration. It's like a big broadcast. It's like, look at me. Here's what I'm all about. I'm about pushing away everything. But there's also this beautiful idea that when you think about this magnificent order, that you're, what you want is always known. What you want is always known by the universe, by your soul, by however you want to think about that. So what you want is known, and you come from the premise that, okay, number one, what I want is known. Number two, what I want is a done deal. The universe isn't saying, no, not giving it to you. You can't have it. You're unworthy. You're undeserving. You haven't worked hard enough. You haven't earned it. You're not old enough, or you're too old. There's none of that. Is if you understand, again, what you want is known. What you want is inevitable unless you stand in the way of it. Then why would we be trying to rush it? Why not savor it? Do you want to hurry through licking your ice cream cone, or do you want to savor it? Do you want to rush through the details of your life, or do you want to savor them and appreciate each piece coming into place, knowing that is being orchestrated, always being orchestrated on your behalf? And even if or when those things that look like they're going wrong, or there's a delay in timing, it's always matching your vibe, always, always, but there's always benefits. So if you approach everything from this, where I stand, where I am, what I know, who I am, what I've come to know, what I've come to understand, and what I want, and where I am relative to that, is all in this beautiful, beautiful place of orchestration that I can just benefit from right now. So what is there that I can benefit from right here and now? And what's my hurry? Like, what is my hurry? I'm going to die soon. I've only got so much time. Like, that again is a false premise, because we are eternal. And that's a kind of a hard, not so much hard, but kind of hard concept for people to understand. It's like, well, I'm, you know, this age, or I need money, or I want to make that promotion by that time. And it's like, well, okay, have your desires, but also learn to understand the message that you're sending. Are you contradicting your own desire? And for the most part, most people do in a lot of situations.
Well, let's talk about this whole idea of practicing awareness, because you say practicing awareness allows you to reframe your perspective with feedback from your emotions, guiding you toward a more or less connection, which is valuable in creating and living the life you want, no longer moving forward under false premises about what your feelings mean. It's like the difference between building a house on quicksand and building one on a solid foundation. And I think the reason that struck me is probably my favorite book that I've read this year, which is an old book, is the Anthony DeMello book, Awareness. And it was kind of one of those books I felt that was sort of unconventional advice for life that most of us are kind of paradoxically unaware of.
So how do you
begin to practice awareness in your life?
Pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. If you've gone so far as to have a manifestation, right? Something that you've bumped into, and this is not at all to be guarded about your life. This is about embracing your life and being present. So if you bump into something that you want, you wouldn't really describe it like that if it was something that you wanted. If something comes into your life that you want, or you bump into something that you don't want, it's like, all right, well, I've been thinking and feeling up until now. I guess I didn't pay attention. So the manifestation is there showing me what I've been thinking and feeling, and now I get to change a perspective. Or if I'm about to say something to you and I can feel my gut wrenching, or I'm really angry at you, I'm blaming you in this sense, right? I'm using you as my reason to feel anger, really, is what I want to say. And I'm going to dish it out at you. That's an indicator to me. That's an indicator to me that I'm feeling powerless in that moment. And I'm about to speak something that is not from a true premise, really, not from the perspective of my soul. So I could take a step back and say, hold on, I'm just going to collect myself and find a way to feel better first, just calm myself down, and then I will, right? So awareness is always beneficial, because it lets you know what you're in the process of creating. It lets you know, even after the fact, if you've been oblivious to how you've been thinking and feeling, because so many times we think a shitload of thoughts in a day, and most of them are what you thought yesterday, or the same essence of what you thought yesterday. And so from there, then we keep creating the same outcomes. And so as you pay attention to how you feel and you care about how you feel, you can start asking yourself that question. Is this really what I want to believe about this right now? Is this really what I want to expect about this? Is this really what, am I going to use that as my reason to feel bad right now? It's a choice. It's okay if you do, right? But I like you. I want you to recognize that it's a choice.
Yeah. So you talk about action, I think, in a way that was very different than I've ever, you know, read in any other book that I've read.
Awesome.
And I thought that it was really interesting because you make this distinction between sort of action and you know, different ways. And you talk about the purpose of action and what is the purpose of action and how do people misunderstand it? Because you say the purpose of action isn't necessarily to accomplish something. The purpose of action is to move in the direction of it as a means of your energy flow. The purpose of action is to celebrate an inspired thought. Action is to inspiration as a party is to planning. One is better with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do people go wrong with this?
Well, why did that resonate with you? You said you haven't heard it described in that way. So what about that?
Well, I think it's, you know what it is? You said the purpose of action isn't necessary to accomplish something. And so, I mean, the connection I made between it is I've been writing this article that I haven't published yet about why changing your behavior leads to better results than setting goals. Because in my experience, that is actually what has happened. You know, I had the goal to get a book deal with a publisher for 5 years. It never happened. Then I changed my behavior to writing 1,000 words a day, and I got a 2-book deal with a publisher. I think that that's why it made me kind of see, you're right, the purpose of action there wasn't to accomplish something, but I accomplished it because of the action.
Well, I kind of want to say perhaps to that. You accomplished it because you believed that following through on that action would perhaps get you closer to your desire. And in the process of doing those actions, thought actually accomplishes 99% of that, of any manifestation. It's the vibration comes first. The vibration comes first. And so action is intended to be that inspired movement forward, the allowing more energy to flow and receiving that inspiration to move toward. And it was already pretty much done before you decided to start writing those words on the page. But your action in this case helped you align with the belief. Okay. And also you're looking at it from that perspective that this equals that. And so in that process, did you not discover more about yourself? Did you not actually, in the process of more writing, get to more of what you wanted to say, which was actually more of a complete picture to what you meant to be publishing, which then brought you to the place that you met your desire, your fullest in this context, your fullest desire that was even more pleasing to you or as pleasing to you that you wanted it to be, that you weren't quite yet ready for 5 years before.
Wow.
So behavior is absolutely, absolutely part of the process, but you can't fake it to the universe. There's a switch somewhere that happens somewhere along the lines that you become a cooperative component to your desire. And that's why then your desire manifests. Because you've also seen people who change their behavior. And let's say working out is kind of an easy one to relate to. I feel, you know, overweight or not fit or whatever. From that place, that can be birth a desire, or another desire can also be birthed from, ooh, I'd like to complete a marathon or a triathlon, or I'd like to become be in a show in a week. So therefore I will, right? I will go to the gym. I will run. I will. And that mechanism is helping you move toward your desire. And it's also helping you believe that you can do it in one sense. But if you still feel overweight or out of shape, or you're lamenting, really focusing on your inability to get where you are, if you're looking at too much of the reality that hasn't changed yet, then there's no amount of working out that you'll do that will get you to your goal. I promise you.
Wow.
None, because you're contradicting it along the way enough. And I think I mentioned it in the book, you know, you're contradicting it enough, at least 51% of the time, that will prevent you from getting to your goal. And then you hear people saying, that shit doesn't work. Either law of attraction doesn't work or working out doesn't work, right? And that's also why you've got to find your own path. If you've decided that, let's say again, you want to lose weight, for instance, if you've decided that that's something you want to do and you think you mean it, but what you really want, yes, you want that. But what you also want is to be able to run around and feel flexible and agile, and you want to feel good in your body, and you want to be able to breathe well, and you want to be able to sleep well, and you want to be able to enjoy the movement of your body, right? In whatever way. And you've decided that working out is the only way to do it, but you hate working out. You're going to have to sort that out, because you've got split energy. You're pulling against yourself every single day that you go work out if you have that attitude. So either work out and like it, or find something else to do to move your body. Find a way to feel good and feel good in your body. Imagine what that would feel like and start tuning into what that feels like. Find yourself walking down the road someplace and just feeling really good. And you go, oh my gosh, this, I feel so good. More of this, more of this. So now you're becoming familiar with what the vibration, the frequency of your desire, instead of the vibration or frequency of your sore knee that keeps you stuck. If you keep focusing on this as being a thing that stops you from having what you want.
Beautiful. You gave me one paragraph to add to the article that I'm writing now because of that. So that's fantastic.
You're welcome.
I want to come full circle to where we started, which was this whole idea of what's right versus what's right for you. And the thing that I want to finish with is, you know, we spend a lot of time, any of us who are into personal development or self-improvement, myself included, we read books. I'm in this unusual position of getting to talk to half the people whose books I read. And somehow in all of that, Ryder Carroll actually says, he defines this as appropriating other people's goals, you know, because there are the accomplishments that we see. It's, you know, the outliers that we put on the covers of magazines, that we write about in media, that we make movies about, that they're the ones that write books, they're the ones that appear on podcasts like mine. And nobody's going to stop consuming this stuff, and we don't want them to. There's value in it. But while taking in knowledge and wisdom from other people, how do you filter that so that you can, you know, take what works for you from that, as opposed to using whatever everybody else gives you as a template for your life?
Yeah, that's always been a strong filter for me. How much information do you take from other people and use it and believe it, right? And how much do you set aside and say, not for me? And that is an individual choice. And how I do it is how it feels to me. If I feel strong contradictions, like I don't even believe that shakes my mind up enough to say, well, wait a minute, am I just resistant to it? Like, have I got my own set of beliefs that just stand in the way of me hearing that? Or does it just not resonate? Does it just not align with the foundations that I've chosen to believe for myself? And it's always evolving that. I always encourage people and say, if you feel that that's right for you, you don't have to identify why it's not. If you were to fully align with what you feel is right for you, you could live your life that way. But oftentimes, again, it's that contradiction, that split energy that we as humans introduce. It's like, well, I want to go this way, but why is everyone else going that way? And now we question ourselves, and now we're introducing that resistance. We're introducing that split energy, and we start to question ourselves instead of following our own wisdom. And that's really what my coaching is all about, is like finding that peace, understanding what your own wisdom is telling you, and following that.
Hmm. Wow. Well, this has been really, really beautiful and eye-opening and thought-provoking and insightful. So I have one final question for you, which is how we finish all of our interviews. What do you think it is that makes somebody or something unmistakable?
What do I think it is that makes someone be unmistakable?
Yeah.
Being who they are fully, like unapologetically, fully being who they are. That makes you unmistakable, aligned with who you really are. Unmistakable. Unmistakable.
Amazing. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us and share your story and wisdom and insights with our listeners. Where can people find out more about you, your work, your book, and everything that you're up to?
Well, I'm very consistent. So everywhere you look for me, it's Christine Meyer Coaching. It's either .com or Christine Meyer Coaching on Instagram, Facebook, and my book you can find on Amazon, and you can also find a free download through my website, partially, of the book. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me. I love hearing from people. I love hearing from people.
And for everybody listening, we will wrap the show with that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Unmistakable Creative Podcast. While you were listening, were there any moments you found fascinating, inspiring, instructive, maybe even heartwarming? Can you think of anyone, a friend or a family member who would appreciate this moment? If so, take a second and share today's episode with that one person, because good ideas and messages are meant to be shared.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.